Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got a great show coming up for you. But first, we do want to thank some of the sponsors that continue to help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the waterfront restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please, when you visit these folks or chat with them, please put them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And of course, SBN's all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always jump onto the Facebook page for more information on the topics of the day. And, you know, of course, Independence Day is now behind us. I hope you and your families had a wonderful celebration of the founding of our nation. Tom, did you and yours get out and do anything crazy?
Sure, man. You know how it is when you got kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. You know what I was doing? Watching them play with the fireworks.
There you go. Well, you know, that's always fun to watch them play and have fun and do it safely. And, you know, get to, you know, enjoy some hot dogs, hamburgers, and, of course, the fireworks. But it really, this is an entire year of celebrating our continued freedom. So tonight we're going to, again, share some patriotic stories and some historical perspectives with you. Hopefully you'll enjoy that. And, of course, Tom's tirade on unmasking the enemy. But first, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by Miss Corey Gaston from the Waterfront Restaurant there in Daphne. Corey, welcome back to SBN, and thank you and your crew for your service to the community.
Thank y'all for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Well, Corey, I know you've got a special subject here we want to talk about tonight here, and that's Mr. Pat White from Daphne. But I'd like to say before you get started that the bash on the bay on the 2nd was unbelievable.
That was a good time, wasn't it?
You will never have a problem selling that out again. You didn't have one this time, and you're going to have to knock some walls out next year.
For sure. I mean, we sold out by lunchtime on Thursday, and we're still getting phone calls, still getting people at the door trying to come in, and we just did not have the seating capacity for any more people. It was a fantastic event, a great fundraiser for the South Alabama Veterans Council. I don't have any final numbers in yet. My girl that works in the office has been on vacation for the 4th, and so we should have those back by the start of next week to know exactly how much money
we
raised.
That's awesome. Well, you know, and for sure, the food And the way the food was served and the types of foods that you had, everybody was bragging about it, the greatness of what was there for the food issues. And then the types of food, that was an unbelievable barbecue. And the other, good show, girl. Good show.
It was a great fireworks show out there.
It was, yes, yes.
I heard from lots of people that were watching it up on the hill, too, that said, you know, they could see it from there. So
sure they could,
fantastic.
yeah.
But just a great community event.
It was. Around. It was awesome. You have a new Veteran of the Year and a couple of new honorary members of Marine members of the P.L. Wilson Detachment of the Year from in both Nick and Pete. So it was a extreme pleasure to be able to issue those citations to them. So I'm glad to have them aboard with our organization now as honorary members. But what a great show you did. And your people, it was so smooth, Corey. It was really, really neat. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad everybody had a great time. So
tell us about your event you've got going on tomorrow night.
All right. So tomorrow night we have a local legend from Daphne High School, Pat White. He played both baseball and football for Daphne. But then went on to play for the University of West Virginia football.
Right.
And the University of West Virginia just retired his number 5 jersey. So there'll never be a number 5 at the University of West Virginia again. And he is, from what I understand, the only starting quarterback that started 4 bowl games for the same college team and won all 4 bowl games.
Whoa. That is strong. And I understand that's true.
Yeah, I was kind of like, hold on, wait. Yeah, I guess, you know, with transfers or people leaving early or maybe getting redshirted a year and you don't start, so you just don't think of that, of
right.
Like starting all 4 games and playing in 4 college bowl games in your career and winning all 4. Like,
that is neat. Awesome athlete.
So we'll be doing a meet and greet with him tomorrow. Just you come on in. He's going to be signing autographs if you want, taking pictures. We're going to have some West Virginia-themed items. Now, I've never been to West Virginia, but from what I'm told,
it's good country.
A big thing there is these pepperoni rolls.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're going to be passing around some pepperoni rolls that are from, you know, a West Virginia thing. And then also in their football stadium, they sell this lemonade Italian ice. It's a big something to do in West Virginia as well, so we'll be doing.
Guess you'll find out about that tomorrow, huh?
Exactly, yeah. So I'm getting exposed to all these new West Virginia things that I never knew about because I've never been there. So you want to try some West Virginia things and meet a local player, then come on out tomorrow because we'll have some different things going on.
That'll be awesome. I think the wife and I are going to drift over there and see you guys.
Well, he'll be there from 5:30 to 7:30. We're also going to run happy hour all night. So anybody who's, you know, looking to come out.
If you're at the waterfront, maybe you're always happy. What you talking about?
Yeah, and we've got live music going on outside tomorrow night that'll start at 6. So it's going to be a good time again. Another epic Thursday night.
Yes, another epic Thursday night. That's unbelievable. But, again, the Bash on the Bay was just phenomenal. And there's nobody to come to that event that didn't have a good time.
Exactly. It was, from start to finish, it was a great time. My staff did a great job.
They did. They did an awesome job.
Taking care of everyone, getting everything set up, taking it all apart because, you know, we had things that were moved all around our restaurant. And so my staff worked really hard and did a great job pulling that whole event off.
Well, as usual, you guys do a good job. And, hey, we really appreciate the Waterfront Rustin working with our veterans and our veterans groups here on the Gulf Coast and this being a veterans show. And we also appreciate you guys working with us for the last 15 years or so here on the Scuttlebutt Network, helping us bring this show forth to all of our veterans on the Gulf Coast area. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, guys. See y'all tomorrow night. 5:30.
All right. We'll see you. Bell's on.
All right.
All right. Much time we got there, Mr. Mann? One blazing minute. Go ahead there, Mr. Cal.
Oh, no, Ed. I mean, that's just, the bash that they had on Thursday with the fireworks display, and you said it was sold out. Corey said it was sold out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but a great venue for a great cause, and to see that kind of support from the community is just remarkable.
Yeah, well, they had some awesome sponsors that helped them put that show on, and one of our great friends, Greg Woods, for me, JBL, a tractor company there in Sims and also in the Daphne area. It was awesome to be able to see Greg. He's a Marine pilot, and both of us are familiar with him over the last 20-something years, so appreciate all those guys working with Nick and Pete to put this on.
Absolutely, and you know, it's always encouraging when you see the community come out for something like that. Not just because it was Independence Day, but you know, they know they're coming out to support a good cause.
Right, that is so true.
All right.
And as always, you can visit Scuttlebutt Network for more information. And on the other side of the break, we'll hear from our great orator, Brother Ronald Reagan, on We the People when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired shows are up via podcast on the FM Talk 106.5 app. And Tom's Tirade is up on castbox.fm. And it's hard to believe, Tom, that there are probably a generation or two that never experienced Ronald Reagan, who many call the great orator. It's something that really is a loss for so many in the nation. So we thought it might be nice to celebrate America and its patriots by listening to a brief clip from Reagan called We the People.
From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people. We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. And this makes us special among the nations of the earth. Our government has no power except that granted it by the people. It is made up of men and women who raise our food, patrol our streets, man our mines and factories, teach our children, keep our homes, and heal us when we're sick. Industrialists, shopkeepers, clerks, cabbies, and truck drivers. They are, in short, we the people. Their patriotism is quiet but deep. Their values sustain our national life. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We will maintain sufficient strength to prevail if need be, knowing that if we do so, we have the best chance of never having to use that strength. Above all, we must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Well, I believe we, the Americans of today, are ready to act worthy of ourselves. Ready to do what must be done to ensure happiness and liberty for ourselves, our children, and our children's children. We are a nation under God, and I believe God intended for us to be free.
And it really resonates even more today with the challenges that we face, not only abroad, but here in the U.S., because believe it or not, hard to believe, just 40 years later, we have someone in the mayor of New York, Mr. Comdani, who celebrated our 250th with words such as this.
American exceptionalism, the conventional wisdom tells us, makes our freedom a little more free, is how we dug the Erie Canal and irrigated the West, is why children in faraway lands grow up dreaming of one day moving here. And yet the irony is that the story of America has so often been written by those who were told by others with power and influence and wealth that they were anything but exceptional. For generation after generation, we have been told that when the world has sent its people to our shores, it has not sent its best. It sent Puritans and Sikhs and Quakers and Muslims and Jewish people who were banished for praying the wrong way, worshiping the wrong gods, angering the wrong people. It sent peasants and serfs from slums and shtetls who were treated as less because they hardly owned clothes, let alone land. It sent immigrants from whom power was something someone else had. We are told that America is exceptional because we are richer, stronger, more powerful than everyone else. The truth, my friends, is that America is exceptional because here, nothing is fixed into place. The frontier may be closed. We may have walked on the moon. But the work of fulfilling the values first enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, that work endures, and it belongs to us all. It belongs, too, to our newest Americans, those standing here with me today, all of whom were recently naturalized. Nearly a decade ago, I, too, felt what you feel, the joy of no longer being just a New Yorker, but an American, too. You each hold a special power, the power to determine what America means. The powerful have always known their answer. America, in their view, is an arena of supremacy, where only a select few are allowed freedom, where not all are created equal. America, if you ask them, becomes less the more people it welcomes. America, they will tell you, belongs only to those with the right accent or the right shade of skin. The rest of us, they insist, should be grateful for merely being allowed to visit. How small they are, how weak, how unoriginal. At every moment in our past, those who led through exclusion and isolation have tried to win power and enrich themselves by turning us against one another. Division is the oldest trick in politics and the cheapest. But time and again, including 250 years ago, those forces of division have been vanquished by the forces of progress. As Thomas Paine once wrote, this new world hath been the asylum for the persecuted lovers of civil and religious liberty. Hither have they fled. And yet today, too many of our leaders do not believe in a vision of this nation as an asylum for the persecuted, but rather as one that persecutes those seeking asylum. As we mark 250 years, what do we see? We see a city of contradictions within a nation of contradictions. We see the wealthiest country in the history of the world, one where children go to sleep hungry while the world's first trillionaire hungers for more. We see monopolies that dominate every industry and oligarchs who buy elections. We see masked agents terrorizing our streets, eating food cooked by our undocumented neighbors before spiriting them away in unmarked vans. We see a nation whose immense wealth has been built by those with calloused, dirt-streaked hands, those who toil on factory floors and chisel into stone. And we see a nation that has allowed so much of that wealth to be held instead in the soft hands of a precious few. Yes, we see America in a health insurance industry that exploits the sick, but that is not all we see when we look for America. We see it too in the nurse who works a double shift and then stops on her way home to check on an ailing neighbor. Yes, we see America in corporate landlords for whom negligence is a business model. We see it too in the father who tucks his children into bed beneath a ceiling stained with leaks, who wakes before dawn to go to work and still believes his country can do better by his family. Yes, we see America when we spend our tax dollars on bombs and bailouts, when we sell our elections to the highest bidder. Yet we see it just as clearly in every American who still believes this country belongs to we, the people.
I believe every word that comes out of this commie's mouth, because he absolutely means it. Now, here's somebody who said, you know, I came here, and 10 years ago I was a New Yorker, but then I became an American. No, you have not become an American.
No.
Because you have not accepted the ideals and the principles that this nation was founded upon. And your speech, I know you say that there are folks that want to divide us. That's exactly what you're doing
That's what he was doing.
And that is the entire platform that you and your socialist communists run on.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's you or AOC.
Playing the race card. Everything's the damn race card.
Well, it's a race card or it's an immigrant card.
Yeah.
And he wants to talk about all these immigrants and all the work they do. You know what? Those who built this nation came here legally. They didn't sneak in the damn back door.
Right.
They may have been running from something in their nation, but they still came here legally. They came through the process.
Right.
And the fact that you want to bring up and raise up the ones that are here illegally, somehow they should be put to the head of the line. Somehow they're not equal. You know what? If they're here illegally, they should be treated equally. They should be prosecuted and deported, just like they would if somebody tried to go back to your country or if somebody crossed accidentally into the border in Mexico. And in fact, if you crossed accidentally into the border into Mexico, they wouldn't just turn you around. They'd throw your ass in jail for a good while. And a Mexican jail is not a good place to
be. All countries do.
Absolutely. And just the gall for this person to sit there and basically slap the average American patriot in the face while running a city that is going to fall apart.
It's falling apart already, Cal, because he's losing his tax base. It's $47 billion of business has already left the city of New York. And that's telling me that they took their taxes with them, you know, and they took all of their employees' taxes with them.
Oh, absolutely.
They can't, exist without a tax base. Ask the city of Pritchard.
That's absolutely. It's not only in New York, but you know that's what they say. The problem with communism and socialism, it's great until you run out of everybody else's money. But by that time, folks like Kamdami, they've gotten theirs. In fact, I would love to figure out exactly what ceiling stained apartment he lived in when he came here. Because obviously I don't think he's seen too many hard days in his commie life.
Well, now, you know, they're bankrupt and he's trying to give everybody there, you know, and the city officials an all 18% raise.
Yeah, but they're not going to add any more cops to keep anybody safe.
They get rid of them.
There you go.
Yep.
Hey, anyway, you can always go to our Facebook page for more information. On the other side of the break, a wake-up call from World War II when we return to the Scuttlebutt.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
No, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. A voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Miss Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's Hottest Eatery at the coolest location, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, you know, Tom, General Patton is one of the more storied figures from our military history. His exploits and successes as a combat general are renowned and are still studied today. But perhaps many know him better through the big screen portrayal of the general by the incredible actor George C. Scott. And we'd like to share with you the tremendous opening monologue from the movie Patton. And just a brief warning, just like General Patton was, the language is a little salty.
Oh, you mean
so
like
enjoy.
Me? Okay.
You see that? I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country. Amen? All this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle. When you were kids, you all admired the champion marble shooter, the fastest runner, big league ball players, the toughest boxers. Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war. Because the very thought of losing is hateful to Americans. Now, an army is a team. It lives, eats, sleeps, fights as a team. This individuality stuff is a bunch of crap. The bilious bastards who wrote that stuff about individuality for the Saturday Evening Post don't know anything more about real battle than they do about fornicating. Now, we have the finest food and equipment, the best spirit, and the best men in the world. You know, my God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel. Now, some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do. Now, there's another thing I want you to remember. I don't want to get any messages saying that we are holding our position. We're not holding anything. Let the Hun do that. We are advancing constantly, and we're not interested in holding on to anything except the enemy. We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose. Now, there's one thing that you men will be able to say when you get back home, and you may thank God for it. 30 years from now, when you're sitting around your fireside with your grandson on your knee, and he asks you, what did you do in the great World War II? You won't have to say, well, I shoveled shit in Louisiana. All right, now you sons of bitches, you know how I feel. I will be proud to lead you wonderful guys into battle anytime, anywhere. That's all.
Yes. Tell him. You know, Cal, I had a good buddy of mine was a captain, and he was one of his officers. And I asked him, I said, was that the real Patton or was that just a speech? He said, hell no, Tom. He said, that was Patton 110%.
Oh, well, absolutely, absolutely. You know, Patton was not shy about his thoughts about combat. Of course, he was very successful and was only pulled off the battlefield for supposedly slapping a soldier. And the word got out that he had done that because the soldier would not return to the front lines with his unit.
Right.
But, you know, he's also largely credited with salvaging the Army during the Battle of the Bulge.
Right.
And by pressing that offensive. But, you know, I think that attitude, Tom, that General Patton brought to things is something that we lost there for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
That it went from we're going to win this to, well, you know, we're going to do a little participation trophy. And
everybody's not going to get a damn trophy. Only the ones that wins get trophies.
Right, right. The loser goes home and
right.
The winner
gets the homecoming
queen, something like that.
Yes.
But, you know, it's an attitude that I think a lot of folks in the nation, they don't like it. It's that the so-called, had not liked it. It's part of the woke culture.
It is.
Because it is a very, I guess you could say, it's a very masculine forward concept. But at the same time, Tom, if you go back and look at the very founding of our nation, you know, the folks that Comdani wanted to mix in, he mixed Quakers and Puritans in with Muslims and Islamists, which I thought was an odd mixture.
Yeah.
Because the Quakers and the Puritans were, in fact, they were fleeing religious persecution.
Right.
You know, most of the Muslims that come over here, they're coming from Muslim countries, Tom. There is no religious persecution.
Right, right.
Where they are.
Oh, yeah, just want to come over and indoctrinate us.
Well, yeah, right. In fact, in their countries, if you dropped a Puritan or a Quaker in their home country, they'd throw them off a building.
Sure they would. It'd kill them immediately.
Right. But those folks were actually fleeing religious persecution, but they knew they were going into a land that was not in any way tamed.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to tame the land. Yes, they had to fight the Indians that were here or make friends with them at the same time. But, you know, through that entire process, we continued to grow as a nation because we had people, men and women, who were brave enough to leave the little colonies that they had and continue to expand into the westward territories where nobody really knew what was there.
Right.
You know, imagine something like the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Sure.
They
sure.
had no idea where they were headed, Tom.
Right.
But they knew they wanted to try to find that way to.
There was something out there they wanted to go see, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, Comdani, you know, he says, well, we've reached the edge of the continent and we've explored the moon. Well, it's almost as like, well, you know, we're done now.
Yeah.
And we're going to take that money and we're going to shove it into these social programs where it's just a bunch of bureaucrats and non-governmental organizations that are going to suck off the government teeth if it's not outright fraud like we've seen in Minneapolis with the Somali population.
Yes.
And the Medicare fraud out in California.
Yes.
That's the kind of attitude that is still here. And eventually, again, they're going to run out of money in New York, hopefully.
Sure, yeah, and they're going to want us to bail them out, and we'll have to.
Hopefully we don't. Just let them, they can sink and figure out how bad it was, and it's their fault.
Maybe they'll change their attitude.
Stupid policies.
Yes.
On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on unmasking the enemy when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Green Beret, trained to live.
The following may coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Last week, we commemorated the 81st anniversary of the D-Day landings. On that fateful day, the Allied armies landed on the beaches of Normandy in what would become the beginning of the end of the horror that was Hitler's Germany and the Third Reich. The sea landing started at 6:30 a.m., just after dawn, targeting five beaches whose names have become synonymous with heroism: Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juneau, and Sword. There were also earlier operations behind the German front, including paratrooper and glider landings on strategic German sites such as the Pegasus Bridge and the U.S. Army Rangers scaling cliffs at Point du Hoc to take out strategic German gun positions. Around 11,000 Allied aircraft, 7,000 ships and boats, and thousands of other vehicles were involved. Nearly 160,000 Allied troops landed in Normandy on June 6, 1944. Of these, 73,000 were from the United States and 83,000 were from Britain and Canada. Forces from several other countries were also involved, including French troops fighting with General Charles de Gaulle. While there have been many attempts to depict the events of that day, including the epic 1962 film, The Longest Day, which boasted the Duke, John Wayne, and his cast, probably the best known and most accurate depiction of the landing and ensuing battles is Steven Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan, starring Tom Hanks. I recently had the good fortune of stumbling upon the 2023 British film The Last Rifleman, starring the erstwhile 007 Pierce Brosnan. It follows Brosnan as Artie Crawford, a Northern Irish World War II veteran who, on the 76th anniversary of the D-Day landings in Normandy, decides to secretly escape his nursing home and embarks on an arduous but inspirational journey from Northern Ireland to France to pay his final respects to his best friend and find the courage to face the ghost of his past. The film is loosely based on the true story of British D-Day veteran Bernard Jordan. I highly recommend that you catch this film, as the heartfelt story reminds us of the dwindling numbers of the greatest generation left with us. It focuses less on the horrors of war and more on the scarring effects that combat left on those who survived. Brosnan's character has quite the adventure finding his way across the channel that he once traversed as a young Irishman, including smuggling himself out of England and into France because, at age 92, his passport had expired. Ironic, because if he was an illegal, he could just walk right in and get a free phone. In a saga straight out of
Bueller. 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 Bueller.
Artie's escape transforms him into something of a folk hero, a role which he is reluctant to embrace. Artie embodies the thousands of young men who cross borders and enemy lines to fight and defeat Hitler's National Socialist Party, the fascism of Italy's Mussolini, and the radical Shinto ultra-nationalism of Imperial Japan, saving the West's ideals of liberty, freedom, and capitalism. Unfortunately, as the numbers of greater generation among us dwindle, we are seeing the rise of socialism, fascism, and indeed, communism, right here in our own country, all under the guise of, quote, saving our democracy. Of course, the statement in itself is a falsehood, as the United States is not and was never intended to be a democracy. We are a constitutional republic, and were intentionally constructed as such by our founding fathers, who were all too familiar with the dangers of a true democracy. However, this has become a rallying cry for those cowards who hide behind masks while attacking our institutions and indeed the country itself. They roam freely, spewing their hatred of life, liberty, and property, rarely facing consequences for their words and actions. We witnessed this during the Summer of Love, in the wake of the overdose death of the criminal St. George Floyd, when unruly mobs hid behind masks as they destroyed personal property and attacked and killed innocent civilians and police officers throughout our nation. I fear that we are on the verge of yet another love fest, as those thugs are once again freely roaming the streets of Democratic-run coastal cities, attacking law enforcement and attempting to remove criminal illegal aliens from our nation. Those who participate in these criminal attacks on our law enforcement should be unmasked, arrested, and prosecuted at the federal level with no less fervor than the January 6 protesters who peacefully walked sans mask throughout the Capitol. But this is only the beginning. The most dangerous of these enemies roam the halls of government, not only inside the Beltway, but also at the state and local levels. And while they walk freely, claiming to be the last best armed, standing against tyranny, they wear masks in the words that they use to hide their true intentions. They cry democracy, but what they truly mean is mob rule. The same mob that creates anarchy, destruction, and death in our streets. Their words belie their desire for in the wake of the 2024 election and the overwhelming return of MAGA, they realize that their grip on our nation and their desire to control every aspect of your life is in tremendous jeopardy. That is why they encourage the violence and destruction of their masked communist minions in the streets.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
The people are going to turn on them. They're going to protest. They're going to absolutely harass them until they decide that they're going to tell the president, no, I can't hang with you.
We are going to fight it. Legislatively, we are going to fight it in the courts, and we're going to fight it in the streets.
However, the MAGA movement is not made up of phonies like Jazz Hands, Stolen Valor, Tampon Tim, or the bearded Rear Admiral Pete Buttigieg. MAGA men and women are not afraid to stand behind and in front, if necessary, of our president and those who are working hard to take back our country. They love this country, and they know that there is a struggle ahead. Just as Artie and his comrades on D-Day knew the face of their enemy, we know that Jeffries, AOC, E. coli Schumer, and their ilk truly hate this country and its freedoms. Jeffrey has said as much in his latest diatribe against the brave men and women of our federal agencies working hard to remove criminal illegal aliens who have found it necessary to wear face coverings while working in order to keep their identities secret.
Every single ICE agent who's engaged in this aggressive overreach and are trying to hide their identities from the American people will be unsuccessful in doing that. This is America. This is not the Soviet Union. We're not behind the Iron Curtain. This is not the 1930s. And every single one of them, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, will of course be identified. That in fact is the law.
These are the same people who wanted to force every American to wear a mask during this scamdemic and who are perfectly fine with leftist criminals covering their faces with masks while trying to protect their identities from law enforcement. Whether it's an anti-Semitic mob on our college campus or violent mobs in our streets attacking law enforcement officers, these communist progressive politicians should be called to account and investigated for inciting the violence that is coming as President Trump attempts to fulfill his campaign promise of ridding America of the dangerous criminal illegal aliens that are in our country. Make no mistake, if your first act is to enter our country illegally or under false pretenses, then you are a criminal and should be forcefully removed if necessary. If you obstruct law enforcement as they attempt to carry out their lawful duties, then you should be prosecuted. If you are a lawful citizen of this country, then you should face the harshest punishment under our laws. If you are not, then you should be deported. Anyone assaulting law enforcement in their duties should be unmasked and face maximum punishment for their actions. Our lawmakers should immediately pass laws that expedite this process so that scum like the Maryland human trafficking man's stateside sentence is suspended and he is immediately returned to the prison in his home country. We don't need to waste taxpayer money housing this piece of flotsam. I know this may sound like a harsh punishment, but I don't give a damn. It is past time we unmask those domestic enemies and realize that the new D-Day is here and now and within our borders. Failure to do so is to allow the lamp of freedom for which Artie and every brave soldier storming the beaches of Normandy and beyond to be extinguished. As they say, not under my watch. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Have I mentioned I'm pissed off lately?
Where's your drill sergeant, man? Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Well, let me say there, Top Cat, Patton doesn't have a whole lot on you. Amen with that. And having said that, thank you so much for joining us. Keep our warriors in your prayers. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!